Beginning in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. For the second week of August, 2004, this is the Rain Report, audio bandwidth for which is underwritten by CQ Communications. From the Albany, New York headquarters of This Week in Amateur Radio, I'm George Bowen, W2XBS. For folks who dabble in the more exotic communication modes above 50 MHz, the summer of 2004 will be remembered as one of the best ever. One reason is the sporadic e-activity that resulted in distance records being broken on frequencies as high as the 222 MHz band. So what is sporadic e, you ask? RAIN founder-producer Hap Holly, KC9RP, posed that question to Thomas Hood, NW7US, propagation columnist for CQ, CQVHF, Popular Communications, and Monitoring Times.
Sporadic e has been an exciting area of exploration for a good number of decades, and there are several theories as to what causes sporadic e, and I think some of those theories are very close to being proven as factual. Some of the theories revolve around the wind shear effect on the E-layer being low enough in our atmosphere that winds and currents within our atmosphere can shape and influence the structure of ion clouds that are formed in the E-layer of the ionosphere. In addition to that, it's been postulated and correlated with data that as we move through comet debris trails, some of that dust from those passing comets collect in the E-layer the wind currents and wind shear eddies that can take place during the right weather conditions, move these dust clouds from passing comets into dense regions in the E-layer. Well, as the E-layer gets ionized, these dense clouds of dust also become ionized, giving us a reflective layer that typically would not exist in the E-layer. And the theory goes that this is giving us the sporadic E-propagation, these dense clouds that exist due to comet trails. The reason that they've come up with this is they correlate the dates of increased activity on 6 meters and 2 meters with the passage of those comet trails. And they've correlated highly together. It's not just a coincidence that sporadic E pops up. It seems to follow clockwork now as they do the research and they crunch the numbers that the increase in sporadic E tends to fall at about the same time that we pass through a comet trail. They definitely see a correlation there. Now, I predicted early this year before the sporadic E season began, which is typically the summertime, that based on Atlantic and Pacific weather patterns that were being predicted, we in North America would definitely see an increase in our sporadic E because we are going to see an increase in wind shear weather patterns over North America. And this goes back to the weather patterns of La Nina, El Nino, and how these global changes in wind direction and currents and cycles, how they play with the weather over North America as opposed to, say, Europe. This particular year, the forecast was we would have kind of a neutral balance between the two, high hurricane type of season or no hurricanes. We're just kind of in a balance between the two. And the way the patterns were shifting with temperature gradients and whatnot, North America seemed to be in for some more active wind shear activity than other years. As the weather patterns were predicted over North America were favorable to cause dense areas in the E region over North America, I predicted that these wind shears and weather patterns would increase the sporadic E activity this year, and that's come true. We've seen some very exciting sporadic E openings with maximum usable frequencies way up in 220 megahertz. Some extremely good openings on 2 meters nationwide, paths that people just haven't seen since the mid-60s, 1960s, during another period of intense sporadic E activity in North America. Veteran 6-meter and 2-meter DXers haven't seen activity like this since the 1960s. Those who get onto the FM and TV DX bandwagon have seen paths between the eastern part of the United States and western United States, between eastern U.S. and Europe. They're seeing TV channels, they're hearing FM DX all over That's just phenomenal this year. It's just nonstop, and we're seeing, again, recurrence of these sporadic E openings on a consistent basis in North America, completely surprising the European community, where it's typical in Europe to see every year moderate to very high amount of activity. But it took them by surprise this year to see that North America had the great opening, and Europe was just mediocre in terms of its activity. But again, it seems to follow the weather pattern that I predicted would influence the sporadic E activity. I believe that based on the typical trend during any cycle's decline phase, we're going to continue to see periods of increased solar activity. The sun is going to, quote-unquote, flare up. With that, as we move through the fall and the equinox period, we're going to see still a good number of auroral openings, and we're going to see some geomagnetic storms, possibly some that are severe. That's going to give us exciting opportunity to do VHF DXing, weak signal DXing, through the aurora mode, as well as periods where our solar activity, again, is elevated high enough to possibly open up HF higher band. 10 meters, for instance, becomes a beautiful band during the fall season. The ham community loves the fall season. Most of our exciting worldwide contests occur during the fall because we know propagation comes alive in the fall. Well, we're going to see some periods of solar activity again rise up to moderate, maybe even strong levels of activity, where our solar flux index may rise again up into the mid-hundreds and give probable propagation as high as 10 meters during the fall season. So the cycle is not dead yet. We are in the decline. We've come down at least halfway between solar maximum and solar minimum. We've got several years before solar minimum being expected at the beginning of 2007. So it's a steady and rather fast decline from maximum to minimum, or just about in the middle, maybe a little bit under the middle mark of the cycle. But again, the flare-ups of activity are typical and are going to continue. We're going to see some flares. Some of them could be pretty extreme in the X-class. And we're going to see some coronal mass ejections causing geomagnetic storminess from time to time. But they're going to be periods, short periods. We're not going to see this on a weekly basis. As we've seen so far this year, there are long periods of quiet. We've even seen sunspot counts of zero already this year. But then we turn around and we see 170 sunspot count for about a week's time. Short periods, not on a weekly basis, but enough to bring some excitement back into the high bands, especially VHF during auroral time here when we get into fall. The low bands, again, as we move into winter, low bands, 160 meters, 80 meters, become more quiet seasonally, less thunderstorms, less summer storming causing noise, longer periods of darkness, which cause the D layer, which is the lowest layer of the ionosphere, that layer which absorbs radio waves, becomes more quiet and doesn't absorb those lower frequencies quite so readily, and those bands come alive. And most what we call top band DXers on 160 just absolutely love the solar minimum years because the D layer and the E layer become more conducive to propagation on those frequencies. So there's a lot of excitement in store for the rest of this year on both HF and VHF. And hey, sporadic E continues through August and into September. It seems to slow down considerably until about December, when it rises up again, and sporadic E, usually around the New Year's season, becomes active, and then it slows down quickly again in January and quiets down until summer. So there's plenty of activity ahead this year.
That was Thomas Hood, NW7US propagation columnist for CQ, CQVHF, Popular Communications, and Monitoring Times. He was interviewed by Rain's founder and producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP. You'll find links to Thomas's propagation page and his free propagation e-alert service on the site's mentioned page on rainreport.com. Thanks to audio bandwidth being underwritten by CQ Communications, you can still hear part one of our interview with Thomas on rainreport.com. Speaking of CQ, you can read more about the amazing summer above 50 megahertz in CQ Magazine in its August and September issues, and later this fall in CQ VHF. The Rain Report is copyright 2004. Rain, all rights reserved. Now, for everyone connected with the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm George Bowen, W2XBS, bidding all of you 73.